Be seated, and if you would please now turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. I'm going to be looking at verses 14 through 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, we read these words. It says this: "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Again, another wow for you. That's a great passage of Scripture. Look forward to hearing what God has to say to us this morning. Pastor Lynn, God bless you.
New microphones and that type of thing. Fellas, thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. And really, the picking of that song had nothing to do with the ladies being gone. That is purely coincidental, wink, wink. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to ask you once again, please open up to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 4. As I was looking at putting together a particular message for today, I just couldn't help but stop and think about how many times we just really don't get the connection of who we are in Jesus Christ. And what privileges we have as believers. And it's important for us to realize that we have a unique opportunity of all of the people in the world, anyone who is a born-again believer in Jesus Christ, and that I'm not talking about any denomination or anything like that, anyone who has a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ is, now stop and get this, a child of the living God. And as children, we have unique access. I remember when I was a child, and there was something that was coming up or something going on in my life. Whenever I would go to my mom or dad, I had their attention. When I was raising children, whenever my kids would have an issue, and it didn't matter what was going on or what was taking place, when my kids came to me, they had my attention because they're valuable. And that's just so important for us as children to be able to have that kind of confidence to know, you know what, no matter what I face, no matter what I struggle with, Dad'll be there. Or mom will be there. Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, as believers in Jesus Christ, we have that same kind of access. God listens when His children pray. God pays attention when His children cry out to Him for help or for relief. God has the best interest of His children at the very core of His heart. You see, that's why Jesus was willing to die for us, to be able to give us that kind of access with the Father. And in this particular passage in Hebrews, in these little verses, and by the way, you can all rejoice in a moment, but I've only got three things I want to share with you this morning instead of seven. But in these three verses, verses 14, 15, and 16, we find this. We find, first of all, the confession. Secondly, we find the condition. And then third, we find the confidence. And as these areas of our life come together and our relationship with the Lord develops and grows and becomes stronger, we gain more and more and more in the issue of confidence. And once we are confident, we become bold. We become bold in our faith, but we become bold as well with the understanding that we have privilege. Privilege to go before God's throne anytime. Privilege to lay at His feet every burden that we face and know that He will help by picking that burden up and carrying it for us. And all we have to do is take His burden. And what is His burden? His burden is to simply have us live a godly, righteous life in this world so that people can find Jesus Christ and find hope in the middle of this hopeless, dark world. As the writer of Hebrews is writing, he writes these words. I'm going to reread this. Not that Pastor Homer didn't do a great job. I just want to use a different translation, so I want you to be able to hear this. Beginning with verse 14, the writer of Hebrews says this: Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Let's pray. Our Father, teach us to not cheapen our relationship with You. Teach us to not walk in fear of You, but instead to walk in reverence before You. Teach us to have confidence in our faith in You. And teach us to have confidence in Your involvement with us. Lord, there are those who are seated in this room today who question their faith. Sometimes, Lord, even question You. Lord, teach us to be fully yielded in our confession. And Father, we'll give You praise. For it's in Your glorious and awesome and holy name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen. First of all, this morning, I want you to notice this issue of the confession. You'll find it in that 14th verse where the writer of the Hebrews is saying, Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. You know, as the writer of Hebrews is talking here, he is basically declaring the eternal existence of Jesus Christ. And when he says that has passed through heaven, we need to understand that Jesus Christ existed before this world was ever formed. Jesus Christ has always been. And I'm going to tell you the truth. As humans, we can't fully grasp that. We can't. And if you say, I completely understand that, you're fooling yourself, man. We can't understand that God has always been. Why? Because in our mind, everything has a beginning. Everything. Why? Because we have a beginning. And we can only identify by what our experience is. And so we struggle just a little bit sometimes in our faith. And in the declarations of God, Jesus said, you know what? Before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham ever walked the face of the earth, Jesus Christ existed. When creation was going on, God said, let us make man after our image. Who was he talking to? Who's us? It's not the angels, because the angels weren't created in God's image. The angels were different. There were limitations in their capacities. For example, angels do not have the capacity to love. Angels have the capacity to serve. And that's what their capacity is. And so being a part of being created in the image of God, since God is love, a part of that creation that is given to us is that capacity to love as God loves. But we don't completely understand that, because it's just always been a part of our existence. Parents, you love your children. Children, you love your parents. Or yada. Think about that a while, you'll catch it. But you see, because that's a part of the human experience and the human expression of life, it's difficult for us to fully grasp that Jesus that we serve had already passed through all of heaven. In fact, it was his home. It was his residency. And while he was here, he was simply away from home. He had a work mission that needed to be accomplished. It took him 33 and a third years, or somewhere in that realm. It took him about that long to accomplish that mission that he was willingly went on. And so as he went on that, the writer of the Hebrews is saying, look, you got to catch this. You got to pay attention here, because a lot of people don't accept this Jesus Christ. And as the writer of the Hebrews is writing, that's who his audience is. His audience is those who have rejected that Jesus is the Messiah. And so he's trying to get them to understand, look, this Jesus existed prior to the creation of the world. He's passed through the heavens. And he came to demonstrate to us life and how to live and how to grow and what faith is really all about, and to be able to give us a relationship with God. And so we need to keep pure our confession. What is our confession? That Jesus Christ is God. And that he is the way to life. And the only way. That's our confession. And so as we begin to look at this, as you and I, we need to say, okay, is my confession, my faith, really holding up under what God wants for me? Can I tell you something? If you're following me, you're headed to hell. All right? Because I have no power to bring change in your life. None. But if you're following Jesus Christ, which is what you need to do, you have life. That's where your confession needs to be. When you follow man, any man, and I don't care who it is, when you follow man, you're headed for damnation. Follow Jesus Christ, because he is God. He is the one with the answers to absolutely everything that we face. He is the one in whom our faith needs to be pledged and placed. And we need to follow him. That needs to be our confession all the time. Our confession needs to be, my hope is in Christ. My life is in Christ. My love is in Christ. Not in any man. It's important to get that right, folks. We must get that right. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. No one goes to the Father's house but through Him, not through anyone else. So follow Christ. Make Him your confession. And that's exactly what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's saying, look, we have this high priest. His name is Jesus. He has been in existence forever. He has passed through the heavens. Look over with me for just a moment to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17. Notice what the writer of Hebrews says here. Chapter 2, verse 17. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation, or substitution, if you will, for the sins of the people. In order for Jesus to become the perfect Lamb of God, to become the perfect sacrifice for our sins, he had to pass through our life experience. There wasn't any other way. And that's why the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God who was slain, the plan put in order, before the world was formed. And consequently, because he went through all of life like we go through life, and yet he did it perfectly, he did it sinlessly, because he was able to do that, we have a high priest who identifies with our circumstances. Stop and think about the identity that Jesus had with us. Did Jesus ever get angry? Oh yeah. He sure did. Did Jesus ever cry? Oh yeah. He did. Did Jesus ever get tired? Oh, yeah. Remember the story of the storm in the boat. They're trying to get across the lake. The great storm comes up. Where's Jesus? He's on the floor of the boat sleeping. Why? Because he was exhausted. Peter at first thinks, you know what? I can handle this. I can take care of this. Pretty soon the waves are so big, even Peter's scared to death. Big, brave Peter. What's he do? He shakes Jesus. Look, we're going to die here. Don't you even care? And Jesus just gets up, calms the wind, makes things smooth, and says, oh, you guys of little faith. Why do you think he said that? Because that wasn't the way he was going to die, and he'd already told them that wasn't the way he was going to die. So they were secure. Oh, ye of little faith. Man, I got this under control. But I identify with where you're at. Jesus got tired. Did Jesus ever get hungry? Yeah. Jesus got hungry. In fact, we looked at that in the early service this morning when we looked at the temptation that Jesus went through after the baptism. And it says, and after 40 days and 40 nights, he had not had any food and he was hungry. Yeah, he experienced everything so he could identify with our circumstances, with who we are, with the issues that we face. Jesus faced rejection the same as you and I face rejection. Jesus can identify with every emotion that we deal with. And so he's not a high priest that is not touched by what touches us. He identifies with us. Can I tell you something? It's not Buddha's situation. It's not Muhammad's situation. because neither Buddha nor Muhammad experienced all those things without sin. Even though they are historical figures, they were people touched by sin. For all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God, except for Jesus. He did it without sin, so that he could identify with the difficulties and the struggles that you and I go through. And so we have this high priest that we can place complete confidence in our confession of him because he's been there. And he loves us. And he cares about who we are. Secondly, I want you to notice the condition. Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. You see, there's the condition. When Jesus Christ came to this earth, he came fully human. Do you know when Jesus was a baby, he cried when he was hungry? When he needed changed. And he needed to be changed. So any of you that think that Mary got off easy, forget it. Mary had to be a mom. The same as you have to be a mom. You see, it's exactly the same. Jesus experienced life as we do. But he did it so perfectly. And he did it so purely. And he did it so sinlessly. And he did it in such a way that he could look at us and say, I understand what you're going through. I know what it is to be tired and exhausted because I've been there, so let me give you rest. I know what it is to be hungry because I've been there. Let me feed you. I know what it is to have the pain of rejection because I've been there. I identify. We have a high priest who identifies with who we are. So he's worth serving. He's worth following. And so his condition was exactly as ours. And so we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Do you think, stop and think about this, do you think that Jesus really wanted to have people reject him? He didn't. You know what his greatest desire in life is? That people would receive him. For it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Jesus didn't want to be rejected back when he was, nor does he want to be rejected now. He wants to be embraced and loved, the same as you and I want to be embraced. And we want to be loved. And so we have the perfect God of heaven who loves us. He identified exactly with us, yet he did it perfectly. Now notice the third element of this. And that's the confidence. Verse 16. Let us, therefore, since we have this great high priest who identifies with our circumstances, who has been through the heavens, who has sacrificed himself for us, raised from the dead, has ascended back to the Father, has promised to take us with him. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace. Let us draw near with confidence. We can be fully assured in our hearts that when we go before God in prayer, we have his attention. Just like when our kids would come to us with a boo-boo, with a skinned knee, with a broken arm, they would have our attention. Have confidence in the God of all creation loving you and you having his attention when you go before him with a need. Because he's been there. He understands your hurts, your pains, your disappointments, because he's been there. He understands the pain of separation in having a close friend die, because he's been there. He understands what it is to go through this life experience that we go through because he's been there. He even understands what it is to die because he's been there. We have a God who is not blind to our infirmities. We have a God who isn't disappointed in our difficulties. We have a God who loves us with a great passion. Let's not reject him. Let's have confidence so that we know that when we have the opportunity to go before the throne of grace, which is simply prayer, when we go before God with our prayers, we have his attention. The Apostle Paul was writing to, it was either Timothy or to the church at Thessalonica, and I should have looked it up and I didn't. But he said this, pray without ceasing. Live in the attitude and the spirit of prayer because you have God's attention. And you want to know something? When we're praying, he has our attention too. So we can come boldly before the throne of grace with confidence. And that confidence is based in the integrity of who God is. That we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. What do you need? What's your greatest need? God has a solution if you'll trust him. Don't be afraid to place your confidence and your hope without reservation in the God who loves you. Let's stand. Going to be honest with you folks, as much as we have a God who loves us and cares, we have an enemy who absolutely despises us. That enemy is Satan himself. And he will do everything that he can to sway us away from God's love. What we need to do is look for God. Look for hope. Look for his help. And he's promised to be there for us. I don't know what you face. I really don't. But I know who you face. There's only two. You face God and trying to do things his direction and his way, and you face the enemy of God who hates you and wants to destroy you but tries to be buddy-buddy. Always be careful of the enemy of God who tries to be buddy-buddy because they want your soul. So be careful. God loves you, and he has no ulterior motives than to give you eternal life. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today would be the perfect moment to give your heart and your life to him. Would be the perfect time to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He has opened up the throne of grace through prayer. And there isn't anything that I would like to do more today than to lead you to Jesus Christ so that he can be the answer, so that he can be the solution to what you face. Not me, him. But I'd love to introduce you to my friend. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I invite you to come forward. We're going to take our hymnals and we're going to sing number 381. We're going to sing this as a prayer because that's what it is. It's written as a prayer. Open my eyes that I may see. Glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Place in my hands the wonderful key that shall unclasp and set me free. Open my ears that I may hear voices of truth thou sendest clear. And while the wave notes fall on my ear, everything false will disappear. Open my mouth and let it bear gladly the warm truth everywhere. Open my heart and let me prepare love with thy children thus to share. Silently now I wait for thee. Ready, my God, thy will to see. Open my eyes, open my ears, open my heart, illumine me. If that's the cry of your heart today, why not come and find hope? So let's sing this hymn, and if God is speaking to you, you step out of wherever you're at, come and kneel at this altar. If your physical condition is such that you can't kneel, be seated in one of these pews, that's fine. But make a confession, a bold confession today, that you're going to be God's. So if he's speaking to you, you step out and come as we sing 381. I'm going to have a closing word of prayer, and then we're going to dismiss you. Matt, we're not going to do the benediction song. We have had one who has responded to the altar this morning. And so I want to be able to speak with her. So I'm going to ask you to please leave very quietly and very reverently while this one is here dealing with the Lord. So we're just going to have a closing word of prayer, and then I'm going to ask you to please dismiss yourselves very quietly and very reverently at this time. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your willingness to touch us. And Father, we pray for this one as she's come and ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would just so prepare her that she would openly, freely, willingly receive you. And Father, if there are others that you are speaking to today, we pray that they would not stop or reject you, but Father, that they would earnestly seek in a deeper, deeper fashion your grace and your forgiveness. So, Lord, glorify yourself, and we'll give you thanks and praise. For it's in your awesome and incredible name that we pray and ask all of these things. Amen.